We pray. Lord God, may you always keep the image, the meaning, and the significance of our crucified Lord before our eyes each and every day. May we know the reason, the why that he hangs on that tree for people like us. Lord, we never really move beyond this image and this meaning in our life. So help us through your revealed word and the work of your Spirit to rejoice in this great gift that you have offered, not just to us, but to the entire world. And may we be a people who hold out that cross for others. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. On January 1st, 1973, a book was published by a fairly popular psychiatrist by the name of Carl Menninger. And the name of the book was Whatever Became of Sin. 1971, Whatever Became of Sin. Dr. Menninger saw that this was a concept and a word which was losing momentum in terms of even being discussed or talked about anymore in culture. If that book were published today, the title would maybe be, Whatever Became of, What Are You Talking About? He was on to something, and as we move through time, it only affirms some of that which he tries to convey to us in that book. In 2014, the Oxford Dictionary removed the word sin from the dictionary. Because it has fallen out of use and is not recognized by the younger generations. The word of the year in the Oxford Dictionary for 2014 was vape. Vape, you know, the vapes that they smoke, right? Electronic cigarettes. In other words, removed related to Christianity from the dictionary were abbey, altar, bishop, chapel, disciple, monk, nun, pew, that's the one that hurts us the most, pew, saint, devil, and sin. All removed in 2014 from the Oxford Dictionary. Oh, and one other addition in 2014 was cancel culture. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had anything to do with this Oxford decisions that were made, I would have picked a different word for the word of the year, and I would have picked ironic. It sure looks like Dr. Carl Menninger was on to something, doesn't it? Whatever became of sin? It is a fact, brothers and sisters, that if you or anyone else has no concept of sin, you can never and will never truly know who Jesus is. You will not understand why he came into the world, and you will not understand what his death and resurrection meant. If someone does not use sin in any context when they try to tell you who Jesus is for them, run. And oh, how many concepts of Jesus are built today with no mention of the word sin. St. Jerome says this, Ignorance of the scriptures is ignorance of Jesus. And I could not agree with Saint Jerome more. While many in the world today would say this is the most advanced civilization that there has ever been in all the world, I would say it's the fastest growing ignorant population of people as it relates to who the person and work of Jesus is. The erasing going on to minimize the death and resurrection of Jesus is alarming. Remove Jesus from your mind, put Jesus in your rearview mirror, and you will quickly realize that as you drive away from Jesus and what he came into the world to do, you will find out that you have no Savior now, in the future, or at the final judgment. If you leave Jesus in the rearview mirror, you have no Savior. And you will stand before the judgment seat of God and answer for yourself. And your, wait for the dirty word, sin. You will have no covering, no shield, no protection, and probably not even a chance to make a case for yourself. St. Paul says this in our reading in the epistle today. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Paul lets us know in verse 6 that the object of Christ's death and resurrection was ungodly people. That's who it is for. In verse 8, he goes on to say that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ is for sinners. Verse 10, he goes on to say, the death and resurrection for Christ was for and is for those who are God's enemies. Christ came into the world, gave his life, and rose again for ungodly people, for sinners, and for those who were enemies of God. That's the purpose. That's the meaning when you see a crucifix worn around a neck or hung in a church. That's its purpose. And Paul uses the word we, including himself, including you and I. We were the ungodly sinners and enemies of God that Christ came to redeem. And he says furthermore, he does this for us when we are in a helpless condition. That is, unable to make ourselves godly, unable of our own accord to stop committing any sins, unable to change our status as enemies of God. All things we were incapable of before. And Jesus echoes what Paul says when he says, I came into the world to call not the righteous, but sinners. If there is ever a truth that will always keep Jesus before your eyes in this world, it is your sin and my sin. The fight against sin, the battles we lose relating to sin, these always bring us to the reality that we were and remain a people in need of the saving work of Jesus Christ. It is just as relevant today for you as it was for you when you were baptized. When you, as we just got to see, were moved from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. When your status was changed from enemy to friend. From enemy to now son and daughter of God through the work of Christ Jesus, your Lord. Now, I'm aware of some of your feelings right now at this point. Pastor, all this talk and reminding us of sin is such a downer. Wah, wah, wah. I come to this church to be uplifted, not to think about anything that I do wrong. And I would say my answer to that feeling that 98% of you have right now is simply this. You did not come today to be uplifted. You came today to be resurrected. You didn't come to be uplifted. I didn't come to say, my goodness, what can I say today that will make my people happy? I came today to say what the Lord says, that you might be aware of who you are, who He is, and the continual meaning of His role and action in your life. That's what I'm here for. And you are here to receive that action of His in your life personally. So joy. Now let's talk about something joyful. Well, here's the joy, and Paul tells us exactly what it is. The book now might be Whatever Happened to Joy in the Christian's Heart. Well, it would be a short book, because the answer is straightforward. The joy of Christianity is and will always remain that my sins and your sins are answered for in Christ Jesus' death and resurrection. And that means, as St. Paul says, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received our reconciliation. We in Christ have been reconciled. No longer enemies, but sons and daughters adopted through the blood of the Savior. Yes, we still wrestle with ungodliness and sinfulness, but yes, the Holy Spirit still points out to us and leads us to acknowledge sin through the Word of God, and we become new creations again. This is God's acting on you and me. When we hear your sins are forgiven, this is God acting upon you, reconciling you to Himself, and resurrecting you from a life that leads to death to a life that leads to eternity with Him. That's what's happened. Now in the message, in the absolution that Pastor Thompson spoke, in the Lord's Supper, that is what's happening. You and I are being resurrected. And when we know what we're being saved for, people, you will rejoice. You will rejoice to know that when that day comes for you, you stand not alone. When that day comes for you, you are clothed in the person and work of Jesus Christ, who tells the Father on that day, you are mine. Enter into that room which I have prepared and enabled you to inherit. You will never have that joy by removing sin from your vocabulary. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, in an ever-increasing and confusing world these days, help us to be those who are not ignorant of your scriptures, so that we might know the truth of who Jesus is and what he came into this world to do and what he continues to do for us each and every day. Lord, may your Spirit to lead us to read less of those words from people who make decisions of removing sin, the devil, church from our vocabulary. And Lord, may your Spirit always lead us back to this place, acknowledging sin, calling a thing what it is, and rejoicing in the benefits of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. In whose name we pray. Amen.